There are a few other examples of assisted evolution, although much of the work has been done on corals. But assisted evolution has also been applied to ecological restoration of degraded lands. And ecological restoration, can be an important part of rebuilding carbon stocks. And indeed, reforestation is essentially forest restoration. But prairies, mangroves, boreal forests, and wetlands also sequester more carbon than the degraded lands that have often replaced them. So restoration is definitely a piece of the puzzle in solving climate change and both mitigating and adapting to climate change. So much of the planet has been fully transformed by human activities that have created entirely novel ecosystems, consisting of combinations of species and abiotic conditions that have never before existed. And indeed, climate change is creating novel conditions very different from those that natural ecosystems faced prior to the proliferation of humans. So this poses a particular challenge for restoration. From which gene pools should we pull materials for restoration? So let me explain this a bit. In an ideal and classical sense, restoration has focused on restoring the species and ecosystems that were there previously. And in places that have not been severely degraded biotically, one would prioritize using, these native species indigenous to the original site or to nearby sites, and simply going out and collecting seed from the wild and growing them in nurseries and replanting them. But what if these original species are no longer adapted to the conditions they currently face? And perhaps this is the reason they're declining in the first place. They either can't compete with exotics or they're unable to survive in the altered hydrological temperature or nutrient regime. They just can't persist in the face of the new climate, whatever it might be. But in this case, it might not be possible to restore the site with the original genotypes that were present. Putting the old ecosystem in place is misguided in this case. Rather, it might be necessary to intentionally select varieties or create hybrids with traits adapted to contemporary selection pressures. In other words, help evolution along to restore the area with better adapted species, or at least better adapted genotypes. A third and perhaps least desirable option might be necessary in severely degraded environments where conditions have been modified so much that the native species is no longer able to survive. In this case, restoring the structure and function of the ecosystem may be of greater importance than restoring the exact species composition. This could be true, for example, in an extremely degraded riparian area, where you really want to restore the hydrological function of the vegetation along the riverbanks, but native vegetation will no longer survive due to the level of degradation that's gone on. So the use of other species, even non-natives, that can act as quote-unquote functional surrogates to the native species that were once there becomes a reasonable option. These functional surrogates basically fulfill the functional role that the native would have done. So you might imagine a particular shrub species really good at holding the soil that would have been a native species way back when but can no longer survive on the site. Well, we pick another shrub, a functional surrogate, able to fulfill that task. The graph on the slide here shows how the level of disturbance can affect whether biotic and abiotic thresholds have been crossed that may eliminate the possibility of using native species for restoration. Oftentimes, if in part A, in section A there, you have some degradation that's occurred, perhaps there's some sort of degradation, but basically the ecosystem is fully functional, you may be able to, just through management, restore the ecosystem with native species that were there before. But once you've crossed some biotic threshold, perhaps an overgrazing situation or the proliferation of invasive species, those primary processes controlling the ecosystem may not be fully functional anymore, and you might have to manipulate the biota a bit to get species that are more adapted to these new conditions and these new changes, better competitors to the invasive, for example. At some point with further degradation, you might cross some abiotic threshold where the climate is very different, where hydrology is different, soil nutrient cycles have been compromised, and the conditions abiotically are so different that native species can no longer survive there. And there, not only might you require physical modification of the environment to get things to grow, but you might require entirely new species, functional surrogates to be put in. So all of this relates to assisted evolution, because we may need to modify the genotypes we use in restoring the adaptability of ecosystems that are degraded.